welcome to our program. We're in Jonah chapter 1. If you can have your Bible ready, it'll help a lot. We're starting at verse number 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." We'll look at this. Have your Bible ready if you can. Jonah is only four little chapters. It's an amazing story. As we read earlier, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh." Well, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He rose up and he ran away from the presence of the Lord. We usually think of Jonah as some kind of a great prophet that God saved from the fish. And he was anything but. He was a prodigal prophet. He was a self-centered, self-righteous, backslidden, prodigal prophet. We're going to look at it verse by verse in the book of Jonah before we start, though, today. Let's listen to this message and song. This was Jonah's problem. He wasn't very near to the heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot dwell last, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless me.
Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1, says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. What a privilege. 92 times in the Bible you'll find the word of the Lord came unto somebody. Jonah, he's mentioned 18 times in the book of Jonah alone. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Had a tremendous privilege, but he didn't care. He was totally self-absorbed. If we were going to put him in some kind of a category today and look at him, as far as his preaching was concerned, we'll see as we go through this series, that he would have been considered a fundamentalist. But he was a fundamentalist that was self-centered, self-righteous, and a prodigal prophet. Jonah. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse number 25, we read that he restored the coast of Israel from the entering in of Hamath unto the sea of the plains, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Helpether. Now, in this same timeline, we have several prophets. Jonah was about 759 years before the Lord. Amos was 755. Hosea was 750. Isaiah was 740 to 700. And Micah was about 735 B.C. And so if you want to read about these prophets, you'll find that the word of the Lord came unto them and they did what the Lord told them to do. It wasn't always a pleasant thing. But for some reason now, Jonah, he's just not going to get involved in what the Lord wants him to do. He didn't like it. Why? Because he said, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, if you're going to be a prophet of God, you just do what God says to do. You don't get to pick and choose. You do what God says to do. Not Jonah. He's not going to Nineveh, not going to those Gentiles, not going to those wicked people. They're the enemies. He would just soon they died and went to hell. That's just not what a prophet's supposed to think like. Well, he says, "Rise and go to Nineveh." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The verse says he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he went with them unto Tarshish. Three times Tarshish is mentioned in this portion of Scripture. Now, Tarshish was 2,500 miles away, as far away as you could get from Nineveh. As a matter of fact, it was 2,694 miles from Nineveh to Tarshish in the opposite direction. It was 2,500 miles from where Jonah was when the Lord called him. No, he got on a ship and he went as far as he could possibly go in the opposite direction. Now, he says he's going to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah knew he couldn't do that. It says in Psalm 139, verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Well, he says he's going to flee from his presence. Now, sometimes in the scriptures, this is simply referring to acting as the Lord, as someone's official minister. In this case, it would be the Lord's official minister that he's acting for. So when he's trying to flee from the presence of the Lord, what he's trying to do is he's trying to flee as an official minister, fulfilling the responsibilities that he has. And his responsibility is simply trust God and go to Tarshish. He didn't want to do that. So he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In Jonah 1 and verse 10 it says, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Verse number 3, it also says that he went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, and it was quite a fare he paid. It wasn't just the money that he had to pay them. He ended up in the belly of the big fish. But it says he went down to Joppa, and he went down into the ship to go with them unto Tarshish. It was all downhill for Jonah when he decided he was going to run away from God's responsibility. We read in verse number 4, "But the Lord." Now you'll find that phrase in the Bible 50 times. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. But the Lord sent out a great wind." Now you got to look in the scriptures, you'll find the Lord used a great wind quite a bit. Check with Pharaoh, he'll tell you about that. Then in Acts chapter 27, in verse number 18, we read, "And we," that is Paul and those people who were on that ship there in Acts 27, "being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." And verse number 20 says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." God is the author of the mighty winds. He can do what he wants with them. The Bible tells us that very plainly in the book of Psalms. Well, here in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 8, we read another time when Jonah was suffering because of the wind. And it says, "It came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And he said, It is better for me to die than to live." Now that's about the only thing I agree with in Jonah's story. It would be better off just to have him off the face of the earth. But we're going to see as we go through this message here of the book of Jonah, the tremendous grace of God, and we're going to see the ugliness of the old nature of this prophet. Well, in verse number 5, it says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. The sailors were praying to their false gods," but at least they were praying to somebody and thinking they were doing the right thing, although it was a waste of time. But they were praying. Jonah, what was he doing? Sleeping. "The sailors were trying to save the lives of the people on the ship. What was Jonah doing? He was sleeping. Jonah delighted in his own deliverance from the big fish, but he was very angry when the Ninevites were delivered." Something wrong with this prophet. Verse 6 says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Verse 7 says, "And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." Now, casting lots was an Old Testament situation, never anything to do with the local church. In Numbers chapter 26 and verse number 55, "The land shall be divided by lot," God said. 1 Samuel 14:42, "They cast lots, and Jonathan was taken." Joshua 18 and 10, Joshua cast lots. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 26, "They gave forth their lot, and the lot fell upon Matthias." By the way, that's still an Old Testament thing here. Look at our series on the timeline of the book of Acts. I think you'll find something interesting there. It's on our website. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land." Whoa, he says, I fear the Lord. Well, talk is cheap. I am a Hebrew. He says, yeah, Jonah rested in his position as an Israelite, like some of the people do in the world today, resting in their position as a fundamentalist. The first words recorded by Jonah in this book are, I am a Hebrew. Well, that was a good thing. He was a good thing to be part of God's people there. But he did not rest in the fact that his God was telling him what to do, and this prophet was not listening. Then, by the way, that you call fundamentalists doing the same thing. Call ourselves a fundamentalist. Yeah, well, are you listening to God? Are you doing what God says to do? Are you standing up in this age of apostasy? Are you calling sin by its first name? Are you exposing those people who are bringing in false doctrine, like such a doctrine as you don't need to repent in order to get saved? If you believe that, you're going to hell when you die. Are we ready? Are we ready to stand up and do what God says to do? Don't call yourself fundamentalist if you're not. Well, it says here in verse number 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. What a despicable testimony. Well, verse number 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calmed us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Yeah, well, you think he'd smarten up then, but you'll find in the next three chapters he did not. Jonah 1:13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They had more spiritual depth in the first few seconds they were crying unto the Lord than this prophet had in a lifetime of being a prophet for the Lord. Well, we read here in verse 15, so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you are to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you can never fall? Let him have his way with thee. Find a place of constant rest. Would you prove him true in providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you are to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you. It's best.